You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the latest edition of the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have your company. Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall standing by, or sitting by, ready to deliver our verdict on the Turkish Airlines Open. Just the one event this week for us to get stuck into. I do realise it's the Charles Schwab Cup as well, and we've got the President's Cup coming up. Lots of cups coming up. Dave Tindall, first of all, good morning to you.
Hello, Dave, and welcome back.
Yeah, I missed last week, and I didn't realise I was going to miss last week until about Monday, and then I thought, I'm not going to be there for the podcast, and hastily arranged a guest presenter, and Sam Norris did a wonderful job.
He did.
And no success from the picks last week?
No, I don't think so.
Rory McIlroy winning a long overdue success in Sheshan, because it's a golf course that he clearly relishes, and he was around about 6-1 last week, and he beat Xander Schauffele in a playoff. The pair barely put a foot wrong throughout the week, and with Rory and Tiger winning while Brooks Koepka's on the sidelines, it's a shame we've got to wait 6 months until Augusta.
Yeah, I mean, Rory's chipping away, isn't it? He's Koepka's lead at world number one now, and
yeah,
he's starting to sort of just rebuild, isn't it? That was his first WGC win for 4 years. I kind of forgot about that. You sort of know the major drought, but you're not quite aware of that one. So
is the WGC drought a thing, though?
Well, I think so, because it's still, you know, it's still a big event, and I just think it's maybe a building block to then now get another major in the bag. And you know, it's been a bit tricky, hasn't it, to sort of assess where he is, because you still think he's maybe got a big error in him, and then but he seems to be sort of solving some of the problems. Like for a while, he couldn't finish things off. He'd get himself into good position, start well, but couldn't finish off in the final round. And then we've seen him more recently start slowly and give himself too much to do. And now he seems to be sort of putting all the bits of the jigsaw together. So here he started well and kept it going and got it done in a playoff. So I think Rory's really in a good place again. I think if he now goes on to have a huge 2020, then the foundations have very much been laid.
Who wins more majors, Brooks Koepka or Rory McIlroy?
From here or from what they've got already? Similar, isn't it?
They've got the same, haven't they?
Is it four each?
Yeah, they've got four apiece.
That was a silly question, wasn't it? How old's Koepka? Rory's 30.
Yeah, Koepka is 29.
Similar as well there, then?
Yeah. I thought I'd start with a tough question.
Who's the more injury-prone, Koepka? Just think, because some of that is
probably.
Will their bodies last, you know, does Koepka swinging away where he does himself in a little bit, or does he work out too much?
Possibly. That's something that's been levelled at Tiger.
And Rory, to be fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think as much nowadays as it has been in the past in terms of McIlroy and especially Woods. Woods looks, he looks so much leaner than he has done in the past. McIlroy as well, I think they're probably spending less time in the gym than Koepka and Dustin Johnson.
Who do you think then? We could have a lunch bet, which we could settle in when we're about we're both in our
20
80s
years. McIlroy.
Yeah, I'm leaning that way. It's easy just to say Koepka is the king of the majors, but
maybe this is maybe this. I know McIlroy had his what seems like a purple patch between 2011 and
maybe
2014. Maybe Koepka's had his.
Possibly, yeah.
I think I still think Rory McIlroy is the better golfer of the pair.
Like his best beats.
But I think we'd be in the minority if I put that out as a poll on Twitter.
Yeah.
I think we'd be in the minority. I think more people think that Koepka's just so dominant in majors and he's got
knows what to do.
Yeah,
he's got it perfectly.
Yeah, mentally he's more prepared to win, and he's more driven. Maybe people think Koepka's more driven than McIlroy. I think.
Although I saw McIlroy's quote saying he's kind of, you know, not running out of time, but I think he's aware the clock's ticking a little bit. Maybe and he's maybe. He
Do you think
sees,
he'll be thinking about building legacy in the next decade?
Yeah,
now?
I think he's thinking 30 to 40. This is a you know, so many golfers do win an awful lot in that period. So maybe he's thinking, you know, he's had a kind of ups and downs in his 20s, tremendous highs, but some disappointments. Maybe he can really bed in now.
At the other end of the spectrum, we've got Brendan Todd.
Yes.
Who won last week. 3 years in the wilderness, and it shows you the mental strength for him to put his trials and tribulations behind him and win again on the PGA Tour. Not only win, but post
won
nine
well.
Under in the final round to win by four shots. He'd started 2019 having made the cut in just six of his previous 47 starts. Not on any one's radar really to claim another PGA Tour title, but he did it impressively. First PGA Tour title came in the Byron Nelson back in 2014, and he's formed an association with Bradley Hughes, and it was one of his former, I read this on the PGA Tour website, one of his former college teammates at Georgia told him to look into Bradley Hughes, the Australian, who was a tour member, and he teaches in the US, and he's got a book called The Great Ball Strikers, which had been released earlier on, I think in 2018. He read the book, booked a lesson, and these two have formed a partnership now, and they've worked on his swing, they've worked on his mental state. He took time off the golf course to rectify his issues. He had that big right miss, and Todd's back in the winner's circle.
It's a lovely story, isn't it? Wouldn't it be great if we had access to all these stories?
Yeah.
Or has everyone got a story like that? Or are there just lots of golfers who just sort of arse about?
I think most golfers are always working, aren't they, towards something and working with different people all the time. But you only get to hear about these stories when
they win,
when it comes to fruition.
But
he's been through such a journey, Brendan Todd. And to have, he had full swing yips, basically, didn't he? And he couldn't control the ball missing right. And he's gone away from one teacher to another, and they've rectified the issue. But mentally, he's had to work so hard to get his game back on song.
Although it was, I think it was exactly 100 starts on from when he'd won before. So it's, although a lot has happened in between time, he's clearly can play the game, can't he?
Back into level stakes, you're in fantastic proper, aren't
I always think of doing that, picking a player and just backing them. I've never done it, I don't know why. Have you ever done that, where you've just thought,
no,
he will win, I'm going to back him until...
Because
he might have 25 goes at it.
If they're showing something, though, the price is contracting all the time and they're moving to...
Yeah,
I suppose
then,
you've got to go with a player that's slightly...
Yeah, I'm. The thrill would be if someone just was nowhere and then suddenly won, you know, 150s or something,
yeah,
and you've just committed to this policy. I will have to start that. Maybe something for the new year.
I think you give up too easily, don't you, in golf a lot of the time? As
you
a punter.
Could do, but if you're just really disciplined and set your mind, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
Something to think about.
Okay. Shall we get stuck into this week?
Yes.
Just the one event this week, the Turkish Airlines Open. Justin Rose is the 15-2 favourite. Patrick Reed, 10-1. Shane Lowry is 16-1, along with Tyrrell Hatton. Matt Wallace is 20s. Bernd Wiesberger and Francesco Molinari, both 22s. We got 28-1 for Danny Willett, Hao Tong Lee, Matthias Schwab and Robert McIntyre. And it's 30-1 Erik van Rooyen, 33-1 and bigger the rest. Looking at this event, I basically fancied all the players I fancied last year,
right,
despite it being a different golf course. And I was looking through my notes from last year. I put up Matthias Schwab on this preview. 125-1. Yeah. 28-1 he is this year, such as his star has ascended in the last 12 months. But he's not won yet, and he's 28-1. It was just a... I fancied him, but it was a bit skinny for me.
Right, yes.
Just straight off the bat.
Yeah. It's very near. The two courses are very near to each other. Can we...
This is just down the coast slightly, isn't
yes.
it?
So I went to the... just get that in. So I went to the inaugural edition in 2013.
It's been a long time on this
since
podcast.
Since I've said that,
Since you've said that. Yeah, but it's the Montgomery Max Royal in Antalya. Why did you go? Was it a trip? Just a...
It's very... Turkish Airlines are absolutely minted. They're one of the most thriving airlines around.
Okay.
And they very kindly fly journalists out there.
Okay.
So there's some journalists going this week who are basically thinking, "What? Why pick this one above any?" Basically because they've got a freebie. So you get flown out there and treated.
This is information I needed to know a few weeks before. I know I'm not a bona fide journalist,
and
but...
And then stayed.
I'm sure we could have wangled... Well, yeah. we could have done the golf podcast on location, couldn't we?
Yeah, well...
Conceivably.
Yeah, honestly, it's doable. It's achievable.
We need to remember this for next year.
Yeah, this
definitely.
This is the one where you suddenly get a load of golf journalists turning up and, why have we got all this coverage from Turkey? and then at the other end, there's these sort of ridiculous 7-star hotels.
Yeah. Can you get us in one of those as well?
Well, I sort of went on a sort of PR thingy, and I ridiculously, I stayed in like a right on site, and there was like, I was staying with a group about 2 doors down from Tiger, and then Monty was in the next one.
Wow.
Really felt, you know, like imposter syndrome. Yeah. What am I doing here? This is just... I'm going to get, like, arrested or something. I don't know.
And what were you... was that your overriding memory of the week?
Well, kind
of. What was the golf course like?
Well, that's the funny thing, isn't it? So I sort of walked the course the first morning, like Tuesday when I got there, and it was tree-lined. It seemed quite tight and the greens were fast. And I'm thinking, I wonder what sort of the winning score was. I was sort of trying to test myself, and I was thinking, I think this is tricky. And then they just tore it apart, and I thought... I really have. I'm a terrible judge of what of how a course will score. 24 under Dubuisson won with.
Yeah,
and then I did that thing. I'd seen him get his clubs off the carousel at the airport in a really sort of casual hazard manner, and maybe thought, "Then he won't win. He's just too." And then he won by a mile. Well, he won very well. So, and then obviously the next year, 17 under won it, Koepka.
That was a watershed moment for him, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, you look back now, yeah.
Yeah, that was a springboard of things to come for
the time, you're thinking,
one.
Oh, yeah, I wonder what price he went off at. It might have been a decent price that week. And then Dubuisson won it again with 22 under in 2015. So, yeah, then, you're averaging 20 under there.
Then we moved slightly up the coast, I think, to Carrier. And,
yes.
Torbjörn Olsson won, then Justin Rose won twice. And he's looking to land a hat-trick, albeit on a different golf course. There are definitely similarities between the two courses, aren't there?
Yeah. I mean, the first year I went, the first morning was rained off. It was absolutely a deluge, so maybe that was the easiest it was going to play because it was softened up a little bit. But basically, yeah, you do. It's a little unusual. It's got 5 par 5s and 5 par 3s,
yeah,
which is a little angle you can look at if you... looking to players who do well on those sort of holes. But the weather looks fair this week, so I would expect scoring to be very low. Lots of birdies needed.
Yeah, I'm just looking at like a strong approach player this week.
Mm-hmm.
Given that it is a resort course, you're going to have to set up loads of birdie opportunities, aren't you, basically, to win. And I had a whole host on my list, I must admit.
Right, okay.
I found it difficult to narrow it down.
I did one of those ones where I landed on him straight away.
Oh, did you? Okay. Yeah. How many picks have you got?
2.
Yeah, I've got 2 as well. Do you want to fire away?
Yeah. I can't say he's an amazing price, but my first pick is Robert McIntyre.
Okay. 28-1.
Yeah. Maybe it's the... You know, when Dubuisson won here, he was a sort of young, promising player looking to win for the first time. Clearly massively talented, but hadn't quite got it done. And, you know, you say those words and you could be talking about McIntyre. 3 times a runner-up since May. 6 in the Open Championship at Royal Portrush, that was excellent. And then if you look just at his last 5 starts, one of those second places was in Germany. He was 4th in Italy, which I quite like because that was on a tree-lined course where you maybe need to find fairways, and he does find fairways. And I liked his effort in China last week as well, 17th in some, you know, sort of a step up in class there. Finished with a 67. Didn't putt particularly well in China. I think that's what cost him a top 10. But he had putted well in Italy. He was 6th in putting average. He gained like 4 strokes, gained putting in Italy, but lost 3 in China, I think. But I think, you know, it's not like he's in a rut putting. It's just it comes and goes. So if he has a good week, there's enough there to think maybe he can finally get over the line, and I don't want to miss him.
Okay, Bobby McIntyre, the selection for Mr. Tindall at 28-1. I'm going slightly bigger price for my first pick. I'm going with Thomas Peters.
Right,
at 33-1 this week. looking at approach play and handling the par threes is going to be key. All these top players are going to make hay on the par fives, as far as I'm concerned. And Peters really stands out to me, given his recent form and his skill set relating to Max Royal as well. He's got a decent but unspectacular record in the event. Was 26 in his only start at the course back in 2015, and has shot a 66 around this venue as well. Obviously finished well off the pace set by De Buisson on that start. His four wins have come with scores ranging from 17 under to 20 under par, so likes a low scoring track. And I think it's about time he built on his wins in slightly lesser events than this one. He needs a breakthrough at a better level, and this is a better level than the Czech Open he won a few weeks ago. And what I like is Peters is 8th in strokes gained approach on the European Tour this season, 15th in birdie average, both key stats this week, 25th in par 3 scoring as well. So I think everything is in place for a decent week again for the Belgian, and I think he might finish the season strongly. So Thomas Peters is my number one pick at 33-1.
Yeah, well, funnily enough, I'm going for a Thomas as well. His buddy, Thomas Detry.
Okay.
He's 50s. I thought that was an acceptable price for another player looking to get that elusive first win. I liked his performance in the Open de France last time. He was 8th there. That was his last start. So he's not flown all the way out to China. I know I backed McIntyre, but so I'm kind of ignoring that on one hand, but using it as a plus on the other. He was 3rd in this event last year, just down the road, so clearly he's got some good memories of Turkey.
Yeah.
Finished 68-65 there to get his top 3 finish. Stats-wise, he's 20th in stroke average this season, which is good. 9th in birdies, which is great. I think you need a lot of those this week.
Definitely.
29th in par 3 scoring, 24th in par 5 scoring. As I said, there's extra ones of those, so he's relatively better on the 3s and the 5s than he is on the par 4. So just this little, you know, increments that we're building where he can finally get it done. I just think he will go in at some point. He's a very talented player, and I just think this sort of course might be good for him. And 50s was certainly that'll do for me, price.
Very good. 50-1 for Thomas Detry. For Dave, I'm going with Victor Perez as my second selection. Yes. At 35-1. He's the other one that stands out for me. Already taken advantage of a tournament in which we've got to make a ton of birdies when winning the Alfred Dunhill Links a couple of months ago. And crucially, he's not cooled down subsequently, because you can see making that breakthrough and then going off the boil for a while. That's not happened with Perez. Week in, week out, he's producing some of the best ball striking numbers on tour, and they stand up to the closest of scrutiny. Following that breakthrough win, he's finished 16th in his home open, which was a decent effort, and went on to finish 4th in China last week.
Yeah, that was an superb effort.
Superb performance. Ranks 29th in birdies this season, 13th in strokes gained approach, 33rd in par 5 scoring. His tee to green game's just simply outstanding, and I see no reason why he can't emulate his French compatriot and win this event.
Yeah, it could be a little tip off. Yeah, but 35s is acceptable for his form, isn't it?
I think from an each way perspective, definitely 35. I like both those, 33 and 35, for hopefully Peters and Perez can both run into at least a place this week.
Yeah.
What about the top end of the market?
Yeah, Rose isn't on it, I don't think. He's sort of just as likely to throw in a 64 as a 74, and
We've had strong favourites, haven't we, the last few weeks, and I don't think Rose is one of those.
No, I don't think so either. Whatever's going on, he's can't put four rounds together or can't piece all of his game together, so I think it's asking a lot.
Easily passed over?
For me, yeah.
Yeah, what about Patrick Reed, who's available at 10-1?
Yeah, he's got a chance, obviously, but I'm not thrilled by 10-1, to be fair.
No, he's playing... He's playing well. I'd rather back Reed at 10-1 than I would Rose at 15-2, despite Rose's unbelievable record in Turkey. And he finished 3rd here, didn't he, back in, was it 13 or 15? I can't remember now. Did finish 3rd here back in 2013, behind De Buisson. So, yeah, I think Rose has the course form and the country form, but not the current form.
Yeah. The one closest, I would say, would be Tyrrell Hatton, in terms of seems to be putting it all together.
Yeah.
4 straight top 20s now, 15th in the Alfred Dunhill, which he normally wins, 18th in Italy, 6th in the CJ Cup, and then 14th in China last week, finished 68-65. That was a nice way to finish, putted well there. He's had two looks at this course, 19th and 26th, but obviously they were 5 and 4 years ago. He's a better player now.
And,
so.
And I think he leads the tour, the European tour in strokes gained approach this season,
I
believe. So.
And yeah, I think you're right. And his numbers were very good last week as well, weren't they,
yeah.
on approach. 16th and 10th in the last two additions of this at the other course. So, yeah, no surprise if he's banging contention.
Yeah, I like Hao Tong Lee, 28-1. He has a good record in Turkey, started quickly last week in China, then maybe slightly overawed by the situation, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, opened with a 64 and dropped away. The only negative with Hao Tong Lee is his iron game's not that sharp at the moment.
Yeah.
And that was enough to dissuade me at 28-1.
He went back to some old irons. I read his quotes last week, and he said he'd... You know, he's sort of fiddling
around. He's tinkering
around.
A little
bit. Yeah, I think so.
Which puts me off at 28-1.
Yeah.
When I've got two recent winners, 33s and 35s.
Even though he's very good in Turkey.
Yeah.
Another one I looked at was George Kurtzier.
Yeah.
At 40s. He's obviously in a bit of a purple patch. Third in France, 14th in Portugal. Then he went back to South Africa, won the Vodacom Origins final with a 61 in round one.
Okay.
So He's playing really nicely. And in that event, I know maybe the field isn't great, but he still hit over 80% of his greens, putted well again. And he's played nicely on this course. 12th on his first start there. And then he's got a 5th as well on the other course. So plays well in Turkey. Maybe the South Africans just play well at this time of year because they're used to...
Well, it's funny you mention that, because one South African caught my eye, and I thought you might have had him on your radar as well, Justin Harding. I think he'll go well this week. He was 7th in Spain on his third to last start. Didn't play that well in the HSBC Champions, but I think this is a golf course that will really suit Justin Harding. Can go on real hot runs, and I thought 100-1 was... He was one of the outsiders.
Is he hundreds?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't put anyone off that.
Yeah, I thought 100-1 was fair on Justin Harding. I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he was the outsider that stood out to me.
Yeah.
Any others you want to mention before we wrap it?
I
think we've done most of the leading contenders, haven't we?
I think most of them. Kurt Kitayama's been in great form.
Yeah.
Obviously smashes it. If you're looking for a player who's maybe in the mould of a Dubuisson or... Brooks Koepka, who won the three editions here, he might fit that bill. He's 40s.
Yeah. Okay. Do you want a quick word on the President's Cup before we wrap, or should we do that further down the line?
You could say that. What are the international team who always get thrashed, although they didn't the one time it was in Australia?
They're 11-4, the internationals. The USA, 4-11. The tie is 12-1. 11-4? I'd want a little bit bigger, I think. Given the way the look of the two teams,
yeah.
I suppose the only slight negative with the Americans is that you know Tiger Woods is going to definitely pick Tiger Woods,
yeah, which is kind of not ideal.
And he's going to end up being a playing captain, and I know that some people think the captains in the Ryder Cup or the President's Cup their status is completely overblown, but I don't buy that. I think they are quite important, and maybe it will be a distraction, Tiger playing and captaining the side, and that's going to be the narrative that week, and it might give the internationals a chance, but you look at it man for man and you think there's no way the internationals are going to be able to compete.
No, I mean, Tiger's the interesting one because, I mean, it's obviously in Australia. You're thinking a long flight for the old back and knees. I guess he'll like the heat. That'll be good for him.
I've not been able to discuss his win though with you, have I?
Oh yeah, just every time we think, that's it. Let's.
Well, I would listen back to what I said pre-tournament. I was so dismissive.
Yeah, we did mention that. Yeah.
He's just a phenom, isn't he? You forget.
Yeah.
You do forget how good Tiger Woods is and how he is the greatest ever.
It's like my thinking on him now, if he has a good first round, I'm thinking, okay, right, that's a little bit out, maybe surprising, or I didn't quite expect that. And if he fell away from there, I wouldn't be surprised. Once he puts the next round on that, I'm thinking no one's beating him here if he's still in front because he's just on it that week.
And his swing looked sensational, didn't it? It looked like Brandel Chamblee does a lot of work. He does a lot of analysis of Tiger's swing, and I like his analysis a lot. I think he's one of the leading pundits out there in the States. And he was saying his swing looked as almost as good as it ever has looked. And it was we were looking at almost a Tiger Woods 2000 swing. And the one thing that stood out at the Zozo Championship was his iron play was just as almost as good as it ever been. The distance control almost every single time was bang there. And when he's like that, it doesn't matter what he does off the tee because his irons are so dialed in and he's the best iron player there's ever been. So it was just a joy to watch, wasn't it, really?
Yeah. I mean, you sort of rewind to before last year's Tour Championship and now he's won three big events.
Yeah.
Just like, what? And just, you know, just that his brain is just better than anyone still, isn't it? His mind and it's just, I don't know how much longer can he keep doing it?
Well, hopefully for another 5 or 6 years. That's the dream, isn't it? And more major championships in competing with McIlroy and Koepka down the stretch in a major. That's what we want to see.
Brilliant. But again, in terms of the President's Cup, I mean, if he picks himself, I mean, realistic, how many games is he going to play anyway? Because he can't just wheel himself out all the time, can
Three.
He? Yeah. So play one a game.
He definitely will pick himself, though.
He will pick himself because he might think, I've not got many opportunities left.
I'm interested to see whether he picks Patrick Reed or not. That's the...
Yeah.
Because that relationship soured, didn't it, at the Ryder Cup?
Yeah, it'd be interesting, that one. Yeah. Reed can, I guess, make it awkward for him, but...
Because Reed's obviously a sensational match play player, but there's a question about whether he's good for the dressing room, the locker room, so to speak.
It's a long way. It's a long flight, isn't it? Yeah. He's chirping away. But yeah, Tiger's probably thinking, I've got years and years to be a pure captain, so if I can play, I will.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, recap your selections then for this week.
Yes, so we're just in Turkey, aren't we, this week?
Yeah.
And I will go a point and a half each way on Robert McIntyre at 28.
You fancy him, don't you, then?
I do, yeah. Good. It's his time. And I'll go a point each way on Thomas Detry at 50-1.
Yeah, I'm going a point each way Thomas Peters at 33-1 and a point each way Victor Perez at 35-1. Dave, thank you.
Cheers, Dave.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Check out all the betting at williamhill.com. And, of course, you can get this podcast each and every week at audioboom.com, just typing in William Hill. I suppose the question is, who's going to win more majors from now on? Rory McIlroy or Brooks Koepka? Let us know on Twitter, at Dave Tindall Golf and at D Kellner. And myself and Dave, we will be back next week. If you're having a bet on the golf this week, the very best of luck, and we'll speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.